The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live by telephone this evening in the Toronto GTA area of Southern Ontario, Canada, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, and we mean anywhere, dial 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, a special number just for you. Contact your local operator and then dial 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, with the best green thumb on the planet, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining once again this evening on a Monday night. I look forward to this. I hope you do too, where we sit down and discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, garden, and landscapes. And as a designer, I think it's important to bring up landscape design as much as possible and to let you know that it is possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance. And we're always, I think the last few weeks we've had some really great guests that have talked about some unique ways to help us in our gardens. And so tonight it's just me. Sorry, no exciting new guest. it's just me.
You're always exciting. We don't need a guest.
Although I've got an exciting guest for, I'm not going to be here for Labor Day. Everybody's going to, take their weekend off or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the weekend after, I'm really excited to have a guest on, and we're going to talk about hellstrip gardening.
What's that?
I know. You and I both don't have one, technically, because we don't have a sidewalk on our side of the of our front yards.
Okay.
But you know, the people that do, they have that strip between the sidewalk and the curb to the road. And that's the boulevard. The city owns it. It's a tough area to grow things and tough area to grow grass even.
Yeah.
And so it's been kind of nicknamed the hellstrip. And a lot of people who are, it is interesting because I have a lot of clients who have turned their front lawn all into garden and gotten rid of the grass. Mm-hmm. But everybody's leery. A lot of people are leery to do it from the sidewalk to the curb.
Yeah.
Or they think they shouldn't, or the city could come rip it up and all those things. But more and more people really do want to do something to it. And I've done it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it, even though I don't technically have one because I don't have a sidewalk on my front yard.
Right.
But I do have this from where my garden stops to the curb where it's technically you would call it grass, but really it's not, it's not doing great.
Okay.
And it's just a tough area in my yard.
What makes that tough, those areas?
Yeah, I just think the exposure of the sun.
Okay.
It just teems down there for me. exposure to the weeds. I'm a corner home, so the seeds are blowing by, and so keeping weeds out of that corner
is tough.
Really tough. Yeah. And I think all the salt, like even in the winter, that's where the snow plows
right.
and all the crap from that.
That's true.
You know, so it really is a tough area. And to be honest, my hose doesn't reach that far either.
By an extension.
Yeah. So, and it's not really important to me to water that strip as well. So I'm really looking at some alternatives and really considering extending the garden right to the curb. So
nice.
So, yeah. So I'm really excited about that. And today we're just going to talk about different things, a little bit about September gardening. Things we should do now and not do. I have a few not do's. Can you believe that?
Not do's in September.
I know you don't have them on your sheets, but I'm just making them up as I go.
That's good because, you know, there's certain things obviously you don't do at this time of the year,
mm-hmm.
but this is like a great time to garden because it's not too hot, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah. Although it is still pretty warm.
Yeah.
You know, we have been blessed with this unbelievable weather.
Yeah. But it's to me, you know, when you do get a cool day eventually in
mm-hmm.
September, that's the best time for me to get out and garden and
mm-hmm.
clean up a little bit and do this and a little trimming and this and that. Because it's comfortable weather, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
For sure. And I think everybody will have a bit of a busier September than usual because it's been such a tough season. And people have been just, you know, closing their eyes and avoiding their gardens. So I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about taking time this month and the next couple of weeks, especially to evaluate your garden. I think now is a good time
mm-hmm.
to kind of think about how did it do? How did it make it through that tough drought that we had? Were there plants
mm-hmm.
that really suffered that you think, okay, they need to come out because they're just too much work and require too much babying? And I'm a practical person. So I really do stress, you know, when I talk about down to earth practical tips, if you're having to babysit something, and I mean, I know it's a living plant and I know you spent money on it, but you know, it's still your garden. We live too busy of a lives. So if it's taking up too much energy, then don't feel bad about getting rid of it. Give it away. You know, compost it, whatever makes you feel better. But don't feel like you need to keep a plant that's just not working for you. So that is one thing I think to really kind of think about how what plants did okay.
Yeah.
And what plants needed a lot. I think a lot of people will say their grass needed a lot. So that's a whole other show about talking about. And we can touch a bit on that on September 12th when we talk about replacing grass with gardens. But another thing to think about, and I know this is the case for me, ornamental grasses, now is the time from now until the fall, they start to really put on their show. But they do get wide, and they do start to kind of die out in the center, and start to not really look. Once they're really mature, they can sometimes not look as good as we want them to look, and so now is a good time to kind of step back and say, okay, how are my grasses doing? Are they obscuring something else in the garden now that they've gotten so mature?
Mm-hmm.
Are they too wide and now they're encroaching on other things like a walkways, that type of thing, if they've gotten to be too big, especially if you've done a clump of them together. I know I have a grouping, and then but you like I like them to look like a grouping as opposed to like one big blob,
right.
You know, so the fall is a great time to divide them now. So I'm not saying to do that in September, but that's the part of evaluating. So I really want everybody to, you know, to just take some notes, and I just want to provide some thought-provoking ideas. But it's certainly not the time to run out to the shed and garage and grab your shovel. So No, it's not. We still definitely have some time. And I'm excited that we still have some great weather. So if there's, I'm going to cover a few things. If you do have questions for me or if there's something I can help you with, like Gary mentioned, the phone lines are open. You can email me right now in the studio and I can see it right up in the monitor at instudio101@gmail.com. It's a good show to do that. So, and I'd love to help with anything you have questions about. So ornamental grasses, like I said. So now's the time to kind of step back and think, okay, do I need to divide them? And if so, do I have room somewhere else where I could add them? Or, you know, now's a good time to start talking to a friend who might be doing a garden reno and who might need some, you know, friend or family member. Yeah. And you can donate some plants to them. So that's something. So because sometimes I think we kind of make that rash decision of digging it up or, you know, that one nice day, like you said, a nice perfect weather day. Yep. Let's just attack things.
I've done that.
Yeah. And then you're like, you're left. And I've done it, too. And then I've left with this clump of grass that I don't have a home for it.
Right,
and then I think
right.
I'm going to save it. And I think I'm going to give it to somebody. And then it ends up dying. And I end up having to, you know, put it on the curb. So that's just something to think about. The other thing that often needs dividing as well are hostas. Also not right. a good time to do it. Best time is, I mean, after the really later, they can be handled much later. I prefer doing it even after the frost has hit them. You know, when they go all yellow and mushy, that's when it's easy. If the weather is still good, then that's fine to kind of dig them up and divide them. Or that's something that you know, take a note of it, take a picture of it, you know, reevaluate in your yard where else it could go. And then that's something that you can do in the spring. But you know, sometimes in the spring when they're just coming up and you're not, you've forgotten all about last year, right? You're just excited to get back out in the garden.
I love gardening. And you know what? The last 2 weeks, though, I've been neglecting because I've been so busy with other projects. I always got projects.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, we all.
And my relaxation is getting in the garden, and I haven't, so.
Yeah.
I got to get back out there.
I have done a little bit. And I was counting on it was supposed to rain yesterday, so I didn't water some of my hydrangeas and that needed some watering.
Yeah.
So I did, I waited and I didn't.
So was that bad that you waited?
No, I was hoping it would rain and it didn't rain. Yeah. So I didn't water them. So I do need to water them tomorrow morning. For sure. So because it does look like another good week of no rain, and not that we're complaining. Like it is nice to have such a nice wake up to another sunny day. Right. That's
what
we have to think about. So. So I think it just helps to give you some ideas to thinking ahead. Especially if you are on top of your garden and you there isn't anything more to do, then that's something you can think about. Is what needs dividing and what needs moving?
Give some to your friends.
Yeah, what you need to get rid of. Like I said, if there's a plant that you've been babysitting and I can't think of anything in my garden. I think I've been okay. I don't think I've been having to babysit anything too much.
If somebody decides to divide like hostas, etc., and they want to give it to somebody. What's the best way to do that to transport it? Are they pretty hardy where you can just throw them in a bag and just go home and replant them immediately? Or do you got to put it, you know, in a special container? Or?
Yeah, I would say both hostas and ornamental grasses are pretty tough. And if that's all you have on hand is a plastic bag. Sometimes a lot of people have, you know, leftover pots from old plants, old pots that they have.
Right.
That they haven't gotten rid of yet. So you can use one of those. You can, here in Ontario, most of the nurseries and the garden centers take back, like they recycle, because they won't recycle them at the curb.
Right. You mean the pots and
the
things.
The pots.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah.
So I've been in, I always take mine
back
and let them recycle them.
Right.
But there's been cases where when I've been doing that, when I've had to divide plants or pot them up, I've gone back to that same nursery and taken pots.
Right. They allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
They definitely do. Yeah. So that's you know, if you've got quite a few, then that's another option if you have no spare pots kicking around, plastic pots. So that's an idea. Another thing to do is to take a look. What's blooming now? What is your summer, you know, are your summer things blooming still? Have they finished flowering? Things like your echinacea, your salvia, are they done? Lavender. And our temperatures and our season's a little wacky this year. And so that's something where if you go into your garden and do some deadheading and get rid of the spent blooms, you know, cut them. Like sometimes it's nice, to, you know, later in the fall, the birds eat the seeds off of, you know, the echinacea, that type of thing. But right now, if you do some deadheading, they may be timed for them to rebloom. So you're kind of extending your season a little bit. So so that's something to pay attention to go back and get you some fall color. So that's
that
something.
Echinacea, that's the stuff people take for colds?
It is, yeah. Coneflower.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the popular garden flower, and it's also echinacea.
Okay.
So you can't eat the plant that you put in your garden, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in case you're wondering.
I don't know. I know that people say at the onset of a cold, if you start taking that, kind of reduces some of the symptoms. Because I think my girls do that.
But. Yes, they do. They do. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you are in a situation where you look around your garden and nothing is blooming right now, or things are done, or something hasn't started blooming yet, then it is a good time. There's lots of things that should be blooming in a garden now. It's not too late. End of August, September, there should be lots of color still in your garden. So there's some things you can look at to add. Butterfly bush is one. Certainly the hydrangeas. I like all the different panaculatas.
How's
that? I know that's a mouthful. As far as that variety of hydrangea. So anything limelight, little lime, they've come up with little quick fire. Bobo is a new little one as well.
Who comes up with these names?
I don't know. And they're starting, you know, it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between them. But I do like that variety with their woodier stem much better. Butterfly bush, like I mentioned, is a great thing to add. And echinacea, black-eyed Susan, sorry, that's the other one, Rudbeckia, is a really good one. It would have started blooming much earlier, and it should bloom right into the frost. So those are some really good pops of color. So that's what I wanted to talk on today, and just have, you know, take a time to evaluate the garden. How's that, Gary?
Very nice. I like that. Good? Evaluate the garden.
Yes. There are always some things in addition to what's not working in the sense of what's high maintenance, what's not blooming, what's not performing. So for me, and I know I've talked about this on the show before, and why I was promoting the panaculata hydrangeas, is I've really virtually given up on the endless summer hydrangea. The mop head, macrophylia is their botanical name. I'm just finding that with our late frosts, you know, they were promoted as being a long bloomer. When I first started designing, they were new, and they were promoted as being a long bloomer because they bloomed on new and old wood. But I've just found, and I've tried and tried for years now, that the old wood blooms, buds just don't make it through spring. You know, even if they make it through our winter, they're not making it through the spring. So you're really losing that, you know, bloom that would have been May and June and beginning of July. And so now we're looking at something that might bloom in the end of July, August, it's not been showy enough for me. They really have not performed. I drive by lots of clients and people on my walk, and they seem to be successful. But there's a lot of people that aren't successful, and I haven't been. So this year I took out my last one. When I put my garden in 7 years ago, I probably had about 11 or 12 different
really?
Macrophylia.
Wow.
I had a grouping of white. I had a grouping of
no yellow.
Pink. Yeah, hydrangeas don't come yellow.
Oh,
so
sorry.
There you go. And I've just slowly, one by one, kind of removed them. And I left one, and it's just been a lovely big green bush, and it's kind of hiding my water, like where my water hose is.
Yeah.
So I just left it there, even though it wasn't blooming. And I finally found something else for that spot, and I took out that hydrangea. So there's some other, if you're, you know, giving up on hydrangeas in that regard, I can definitely recommend Bloomerang Lilac is another one that's going to be similar size, maybe a little bit bigger than that mop head hydrangea. It will really provide you with extended blooms. So surprisingly, the lilac blooms in the spring, like our regular lilacs, and then it repeat blooms. So I had it blooming again end of July, beginning of August. It's not blooming right now, but I know it'll start blooming again end of September. So, and it's not just mine. I helped my neighbor put in a garden for her, and hers is doing the same. So we really quite enjoy that, having that spark of new lilac blooms later in the season.
Very nice.
Yeah. So
are they a purple color?
They are. Yeah. And beautiful. They're, you know, corny name, bloomerang, you know,
but someone had to invent it.
Somebody had to invent it for sure.
Right.
And nine bark, which is what I put in. Nine bark's come up with some really nice, smaller, compact ones, which is what I put in my location by my hose. I put in a small nine bark, so it's got a nice burgundy foliage and a really nice leaf. And the smaller varieties are great because the problem with the older, larger varieties have been mildew.
Ooh,
and so even though they're a nice dark burgundy foliage, they get all this white powder on them, right? Which makes it, again, a high maintenance plant in your garden.
Right.
So we're trying to keep things low maintenance. So we the newer varieties are more compact and more not prone to mildew at all. So
so
that's good. So how's that for our kickoff, for our evaluating the garden episode?
That's quite a bit of information. So people
absolutely.
That are sitting there going,
yes.
All right, this, what do we do now? Right? You know what I mean? Like, this is, fall is approaching. What do I do now?
Yes,
man, you just gave him a mouthful.
Yeah.
Did.
So we're just looking. We're still not getting out the shovel or getting out the pruning shears.
Yeah.
Thank you to Irene, who's listening, and she's looking forward to the health strip show in a couple weeks.
That's what you call it, health strip?
Health strip.
Oh, I was wondering what, I wasn't thinking. When she wrote that, I said, your hell show.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's why I thought maybe you're not going to read it, because
yes.
I forgot you said that's what it was.
Yeah,
so.
That's what it is. So anyway, so why don't we pause for a commercial break, and we will be right back. You are listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way. All right, it's that time of year, and now you know that it's time to do that task that most of us hate to do, painting. What is the best paint formula to use? What color? How about all of that prep work? Not to mention purchasing all of the required proper equipment and materials, plus the cleanup. If you are like most folks and you want that paint job done right the very first time to look absolutely stunning, it's time to call 360 Painting. At 360 Painting, we use our unique 20-step painting process that assures and guarantees your painting project will look the absolute best on the planet, period. With professional advice, personnel, and the most advanced equipment, 360 Painting will get your painting job done right every time, on time, and to your complete satisfaction. No job too small or too large. Please visit our website for more information at durham.360painting.com. Call us at 905-767-4653. Remember, at 360 Painting, Our estimates and consultations are always free. So please call us today and enjoy your new paint scheme tomorrow.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, your garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. All right, welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw. If you'd like to get on board right now, it's simple to do. Dial 905-725-1907. Toll free 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101 at gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. And
wow, you were boogieing to that song.
Yes, that was a good song. Can we play that a little longer?
Wow,
like
sure.
That.
Let's see. Here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not here. I always have to remind myself I'm not here for the music and to talk baseball, right? So,
but you know what's strange is because this type of show, for the folks listening at home, usually we call this is our bed music, intro and outro music, in and out of a commercial, etc. And for this type of show, you usually play something a little bit more mellower.
Yes.
Not necessarily what you like or I like. But when I play some harder stuff like that, it always surprises me that you know the lyrics and you know the song.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're a hard rocker?
I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I'm, and you tend to play classic stuff, too. The new stuff, I know what I like, and the boys are constantly quizzing me. They'll play something and they'll tell me the name, and it just doesn't stick. But the stuff from, I think I even was saying to, what was it, not Jack and Diane, but it's another song by John Cougar. Small Town.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and he was talking about something we did when my son was one and I had no recollection.
I
looked at him and then that song came on the radio and I looked at him and I said, so how is it that I know every word to this song that I know was came out when I was in high school?
Really?
And yet I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's amazing. But it's amazing like that particular song we just played.
Yes.
Which is a harder song. That was some, was it? Oh, 3 Days Grace.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that's a modern rock alternative band.
Yes,
they've been popular for 10 years, but it's off the wall.
Yeah,
and surprising folks like us would know that.
Yeah,
right?
Now I wouldn't know because anything 10 years, I'm not great at the band, so I would not have known who it was. But I knew I liked it, and I knew the words to the song.
Wow,
so.
Look at you!
I don't know. I know we've kind of gotten a little off topic.
That's
but
okay.
We can have a whole show gardening.
Your fans love you, no matter what you talk about. They love you.
Yeah, we're talking about music, so. So definitely. So we were talking about, welcome back to Down the Garden Path. We're going down the garden path here tonight talking about evaluating our gardens especially after this time of year is good, but it's been a tough season just with the tough drought and not even the fact that it was a drought in the sense that there was no water for the plants, but it was also just too hot to garden. It was too hot to pick up a shovel. It was too hot to pull out weeds. If you were outside, you just didn't want to do it. And I totally get that because I was the same. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is not necessarily the garden, but I don't want to overlook our summer containers. So I know I have three going and one is stellar, I have to say, I have to confess, and that is one you can check out my Instagram. I don't think I put it on Facebook, but if you do follow me on social media, you can check out the Instagram post, and it's a yellow golden sword yellow yucca with this burgundy sedum that kind of cascades around it. So no real flowery flowers, but the color, I barely watered it all summer. I haven't had to baby it, and it's just a pop of color at the front of my house. My St. John wort container has done really well, except that now the grasses and the St. John wort are doing fine, but the dahlias that I had in that container are done. Like they are moldy, they are mildewy, they are done. They have seen better days. So what I want to stress to people is it doesn't mean I have to take out that whole container now. So take a look at your containers. If there's one or two plants that are timed for them to go, they're really not performing, or they, you know, that's it, then take them out and then you can put something else in its place instead of, so it's a bit more frugal, it's a bit more extending the life of the plant that you are and still enjoying. And so that way you can, you know, maybe find kale is starting, the mums and kale are starting to come out and you're starting to find them in stores. I do want to talk in a minute about the mums, but certainly the kale is a nice option to add. And there might be some other things in your garden that you can add. Or sometimes just taking those things out makes the whole container look better and you don't miss anything. So that's an option. I did want to talk about mums, and they come out every year. And I know the people selling mums are going to hate me. They come out earlier and earlier every year. And it's still too warm. Like, it really is. So anything that you buy now and plant now or put in your containers now, they, you know, it's barely going to make it to the fall. They're really going to really demand a lot of water and some fertilizer, that type of thing. So I'm ex-nay on the mums thing.
Well, you know, it's a cash grab. So they put them out early,
for
right?
Sure.
But when's
for
the
sure.
best time to get
yeah,
those?
Yeah, to me, it's like more end of September. But you know, when you're ready to put your pumpkin out the beginning of October, that's just when I'm personally in the mood for mums. They're super not my favorite, I have to confess. But I know it is still nice to have, especially if your summer container is done by the end of August, beginning of September. It is nice to have some color, you know, in a container
but not
or two.
Yellow.
You're just a dog with a bone.
I was very shocked when you told me many, many programs ago you don't like yellow.
Yeah. So I just something to think about that you don't automatically. I know I have two hanging baskets in my backyard where the petunias are looking meh. They're looking like they're, even though we're watering them and I'm trying to fluff them out. So I may either cut them back or just take them out of the container and put something else in to kind of get me me through the month. So again, it doesn't all have to be wasted. So that's something to think about.
Okay.
So that's a couple of what not to do. So now is also not the time to fertilize. We talked about this last week with Matthew.
Yeah.
It's not the time to fertilize anything, really. Unless you're planting something new, then transplant fertilizer is fine. It is still a great time to put in a garden. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. It's, you know, plants are available. Installers are available. And so I do want to talk about that. But so now is not the time to do any heavy pruning, especially of evergreens, of Japanese maples, not a good time. So it is, like I said, I really want to stress that now is a great time to do that evaluating. But there's a lot of other things that there's really not time to do. So let's focus on some things to do in the garden, or I could say for the garden. So one of the things is planting garlic. Did you know that, Gary?
You know, I did know that, and I was reading your notes here, which incidentally is yellow highlighter.
Yeah.
And I was very, not only planting, but when you go on and tell people this, that most of our fresh garlic here comes from China.
Yes, you just took the big aha moment. Yes.
Yeah,
the grocery store. I mean, it's starting to be a little bit more and more hit or miss depending on your grocery store. But for the most part, that garlic that is at your grocery store is from China.
Why is it that we don't have such a lot of farmers doing that?
We have it. It's harder for the grocery stores to get it. So often people are going to farmers markets. Mm-hmm. That's a definitely, you know, the whole buy local.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian producers are getting better, but I know when I was asking for it at my grocery store, he said he tries and, that there is a demand for local garlic, but it is harder to get. I think they just aren't producing because our season is iffy.
Mm-hmm.
It is harder to get. It is more expensive, obviously, unfortunately, even though it's locally grown, it's a little bit more expensive. And I think sometimes it's awareness. I don't think people look. When you're buying, when you're reaching for that produce, do you see, I mean, even now you see the, I was buying raspberries the other day and there's a whole, there's shelves of raspberries from Mexico, but there's still shelves of raspberries from Ontario. Mm-hmm. And the price wasn't any, it was the same, really.
Oh, see, so.
So I think people just, you know, just, it was just whether you're going to get two little containers or one big container.
Right,
you know,
right,
it ended
right.
up being the pint, like two half pints and a pint.
Right.
So I think sometimes we, you know, people are getting, awareness is getting more and more out there, but I don't think, I think garlic is one of those things.
Yeah.
So it is more, it is readily available. I know there's local farmers markets. Tuesday is a farmers market in Pickering, where in my city, and usually there's a, you know, it alternates which day of the week they are in your city. But that garlic is definitely one thing to really stock up on. But then sometimes grocery stores do shock you, and you do see them and find out mm-hmm. that it is made. It's, if it's not local, then it might be at least in North America versus China.
Yeah.
I just think that's better, but you can. So I've had mixed results. I'm really looking forward to having an expert on the show soon to talk more about it. But you can grow your own in our gardens.
Yeah.
And it's kind of got an off season in the sense that you're planting it now. So we're planting it kind of September, October, and then you harvest it in July. So it doesn't follow the temperature or sorry, the timing that other vegetables fall. So, but now is a really good time to order it. So it's not quite ready to plant it, but ordering it, going to your local nursery and finding the proper garlic to plant. A lot of the seed catalogs are out, and that's a good way to find some good varieties of seed garlic to plant. So, so it's just reading my own notes here. Yeah, so planting the cloves mid-September to mid-October is the ideal time. Planting with, so it can be, in my garden, I got one big clove this year. Mm-hmm. I didn't harvest it last year. I let it get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I've had, you know, like I said, not super successful, but it's not, no harm in trying. I actually have it in my flower garden, so I don't have a specific bed just for garlic. And I'm, you know, it's kind of, I'm kind of intrigued to try it. And I think it's great to know that we can do it.
And that will be next July, right?
Yeah, so? Then you would harvest it next July. So it's, and you don't use it right away. It has to cool and dry, or dry, kind of dry out a little bit. So I have it, I dug it up and have it in the basement. I've done some reading about growing them in containers as well in the winter.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking I'm going to try that as well. And so to me, it's a bit of a, it's if I get anything from it, it's great. It's a bit of a, I don't want to call it a science experiment.
It is an experiment.
Yeah,
see how it works
something
out.
I can share with on the radio or in my blog. And, share, you know, just it's something
and
to
it
try.
Works,
if it works,
there
perfect.
It is. You got
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in addition, so if you're looking at the seed catalogs, because I know I'm really bad for this, is that I decide like today or let's say Thursday that this Saturday I'm going to go and plant like you know, I'm, again, not necessarily this Saturday because it is still a little early. But I decide on a Thursday that I'm going to plant on a Saturday or worst case, I decide on Saturday morning that I'm going to plant. And I go to the nursery in end of September, beginning of October, and there's none. There's no bulbs that I want.
Yeah.
There's no garlic that I want, that type of thing. So I'm really trying to order ahead this year. So that's on my list of things to do this week is to go through some catalogs and to place that order so that it'll arrive. And the nice thing is they usually send it to you when it's almost time to do it.
Yeah.
And it might be, I don't know, price-wise, if it's more or less. But at least you know... that you're going to get the varieties that you want, right? And that goes the case also with tulip bulbs, allium bulbs, daffodil bulbs. I'm a real big fan of the allium bulbs and the different sizes and the different colors, the white and the dark purple. I think they're a great addition to the garden. I love that they bloom more May-ish and kind of really extend that spring blooming thing, you know, the lilacs, everything that blooms early spring. And then there's a bit of a gap until the beginning of June, and the alliums kind of fill that gap really nicely. And their foliage, you know, I don't really mind that, like I do mind the tulips. And you certainly don't have any squirrel issues. I think that's the biggest thing
for
everybody.
Right.
Especially if you have, if you're in a new subdivision and a new neighborhood and you don't have a lot of mature trees, then usually squirrels aren't really a big deal, and go right ahead and plant up your tulips like crazy if you want. But if you are in more of an established neighborhood and have mature trees and a lot of squirrels, then I don't know. It's just a battle, right?
Yep, absolutely. It is.
To battle the squirrels. So that's something. So, and alliums do sell out quicker. I think there's just not as many varieties as there are with tulips.
Okay.
So, you know, there might be five or six different yellow tulips. So when you go to get a tulip, you might not have the yellow that you wanted, but
right.
there is a yellow one. Whereas the alliums are a little bit harder. And because they're in the onion family, no rodents really...
They
don't like them.
Yep.
So I think they are great for that. They're a good addition to the garden, and at a good time of year. And again, you can get the low ones that make a nice little clump. You can get the nice tall ones that can peek through your plants. And and they were actually, for year 2006, they were the flower of the year. Did you know that?
No, I would never think that.
Yes, they were the flower of the year this year. I know it was kind of promoted at Canada Bloom. So
wow.
So I don't have a favorite seed company. I'm not here to promote. I don't get any feedback from or anything back from any seed company or catalog company. But now is the time to kind of get online and order. And I know I need to do it. So.
And people have, you know, they get the catalogs in the mail.
Yeah.
And
or online. You can go online
sure.
now, too, for sure.
So the people have their favorites, and it's now is the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's pause. I'm looking. I've got a few more things to cover, but how am I doing so far? I think we're doing good
for
time.
We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing good for time. So, yeah, why don't we pause? And while everybody's Googling their seed catalogs on their online while they're listening in to the radio show, we will welcome you back in a few minutes. You're listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
She said, I feel stranded.
Choosing a restoration or general contractor can be a very daunting task. Who do you trust? What are their credentials? How much will my restoration or contracted project cost? Relax, take a deep breath, and then call Elite Restorations. At Elite Restorations, we have the ability, enthusiasm, and professional personnel to get your restoration or contracted project completed on time, within budget, and guaranteed. We specialize in kitchen, bathroom, and basement renovations, and only use the absolute best materials available to give your special project a beautiful new look and great function. Still need more information? Then visit our website at www.eliterestorations.ca or please call us at 905-686-5854. Elite Restorations, Canadian-owned and operated for over 10 years. Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the Comic Doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the Comic Doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission agent. Let us take the guesswork out of submitting your comics to the CGC for grading. Make an appointment with the Comic Doctor today. Check us out online at thecomicdoctor.com.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, and welcome back.
All right, the bed is on.
The what is on?
Do you know what song that was?
I don't.
You don't know that song?
That one I don't.
Oh, you
I'm
don't.
Sorry.
It's my band.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the new band or the old band or the?
Well, we're doing that song, right?
Yes.
It's the new band, but that was it. That's me, guitar, singing. So
very cool. I'm so sorry I didn't know that.
That's okay.
How would I have known?
Nobody knows.
Yeah. There you go.
I was just, as they say in the world out there when you're on the streets, I'm just playing with you.
Oh, there you go.
You know, so yeah, that's all right.
So it's not the music episode of Down the Garden Path.
Right.
It is the evaluating your garden episode with a
true.
Little bit of music thrown in there.
Thrown in there.
How's that?
Very nice.
So in addition to, you know, we kind of covered a bunch of things that to do and don't do in the garden now. And also ordering the bulbs, like I mentioned, which is high on my list of to-dos. I tend to procrastinate. Now is also the time to start, I think, especially this season, because most of us let our gardens go and kind of gave up, booking a fall cleanup. And it is still early for that, but it is still time to think about it,
yeah.
To kind of wander around and go, okay, you know, what are weeds are taking over, what shrubs need to be cut back, what needs to be, you know, thinned out, leaves of dried up plants need to come out. I know Japanese maples, mine is still looking sad. They really took the drought hard. And for all our listeners out there, I know they're popular in the backyard, kind of around the pool. So I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I did have an arborist in last year to look at it and look at mine and to do some pruning. Not realizing that we've got a pool that's chlorine pool. So the chlorine kind of evaporates up in the air, right, from the pool.
That's right.
And it actually affects the leaves of the Japanese maple.
Somebody told us that. Who was that? On your show.
I think it might have been me. No?
Okay. I thought it might have been you, but you had a guest and they were saying, yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So wine, I gave him a good drink the other day as well, but it's definitely been a tough season for them. So looking at, you know, someone who does a good fall cleanup will make sure all the diseased leaves are away from the plant for the winter, that type of thing. So there's a lot of reasons to do a cleanup. One, it makes your life easier in the spring. It's much better to walk in the garden and that type of thing in the fall than it is in the spring. I tend to not be much of a, I like leaving leaves and flowers on things. I don't feel like the garden needs to be all tidied up and cleaned up in the fall. I think it looks nice in the winter to have a bit of a winter interest. But I think if you have things in your garden that are just really not doing well because of the heat, and overgrown because mm-hmm. you haven't been able to keep on top of them, then now would be the year to kind of, every once in a while,
yeah.
You kind of need a good fall cleanup. So that is something to start thinking about. Gary, did you know that I started my business? So I'm a landscape designer here in Durham. Do go into the city a little bit. But I did start a weeding kind of in a cleanup
like a business?
Service.
I didn't
yes.
know that.
I've
when
added
did you start that?
About a couple months ago, just starting it slowly. It's been something that a lot of my clients are looking for, and I really want to help them look after their gardens. Gardens I designed for them and
yeah.
they've installed. I want them to still look good, and you know. So
is that still under the banner of
Down to Earth?
Well, yeah, your
yes.
other company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I've started slowly. I certainly don't have the crew to, you know, or anything like that, because it's seasonal and it's hard to fill the day with that. But so that's something to think about, whether it's me or whether it's somebody in your area. I can help you find somebody. And usually you're looking for that like gardening lady that kind of knows her plants and knows what to cut back and what isn't to cut back. It doesn't mean, you know, you need a crew of guys with whippersnippers to kind of attack your garden, you know.
Come in and destroy
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something to think about. Wow, time is flying. I do want to, and also if you've got questions, please follow me on social media, downtoearth.ca. The number 2 is my website. My social media links are there. You can, you know, I post lots of tips. Go to my website. Also, you can sign up for my seasonal tips guide there on the top right-hand corner. And my monthly newsletter that just comes to you every month, just to let you know what to do in the garden, what not to do, that type of thing. I really, really, in everything I do, from the radio show to the newsletter to my landscape designs, really want to help my clients and gardeners out there keep their gardens as low maintenance as possible and as beautiful as possible. So I really enjoy helping. But there are also, so in addition to my little community, I do want to give a shout out to the other online communities. Hashtag Garden Chat. I know we've had Bren, I was just tweeting with her. We've had Bren on the show a few times. The Facebook found, like, she definitely, on Twitter, if you've got a gardening question or something like that, then hashtag, you know, ask your question and just hashtag Garden Chat. And there's a whole community of gardeners out there, regardless of where you are in North America or beyond. Someone will help you. Also on Facebook, there is a really big community and it's starting to get more and more active with at hashtag Garden Chat. And it's a great place, too, that people are sharing because I don't know about you. I'm happy when something's looking really good in my garden, but then I look at my family and I have nobody to tell them, nobody to point it out to, type of thing.
Well, you should have some bragging rights,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. So if you do, and I have some neighbors and, you know, yes, you can take a photo and share it on Instagram, that type of thing.
When you do something really special like that and you have something really cool happening, do you ever get, you might not want to answer this, but do you ever get like your family come up and say, "Ma, I just noticed that. It's great. It looks great. It looks beautiful." Or when did you do that? Or,
yeah. Yeah. No,
that?
I do. I do get that. Okay. I do get my neighbors ask. I had a neighbors today ask me about, said to my hydrangeas are looking so good.
Oh, wow.
You know, do I ever cut them and bring them in the house and that type of thing? And, you know, so I do get people commenting, but, not everybody does.
Right, right.
And so that's what I'm saying. So this community is great. So you can go on Facebook, you can post, and that's what's happening. I was just looking at the feed for today. A lot of people were like, "This is what's looking so good in my garden now."
Yep.
And just wanting to share it with somebody who could appreciate it.
That's cool.
And that is great. So there are communities out there, and so search them out. And whether it's for positive stuff like sharing your flowers and sharing your successes, as well as getting help for your issues too. That's definitely out there. IDing something, if you're not sure what something is and you want somebody to help you, even if, is this a weed? Isn't this a weed? It's amazing how supportive the community is that Bren has got going there at hashtag Garden Chat.
Can we smoke the weed?
That's another whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
And if you are wanting to get even more involved, then please search out to your local horticultural societies and garden clubs. That's something to think about. You know, I've talked about my involvement with the Pickering Horticultural Society. I'm actually speaking this upcoming season at the Ajax Garden Club. Theirs is a garden club. I'm going to speak there.
Nice.
And so there's a garden club, Brooklyn, Oshawa. There's some really good clubs in the area, and they're always looking for new people. And it's a really great way to get involved in your community, learn more about plants. They've always got wonderful speakers of a variety of topics, even more eclectic than what I can get on the show. Although I've had some people that I've met at the Hort Society's on the show, and I've got a couple more. I'm really hoping that Jason, I believe, from Davy Tree comes on soon. So I'm going back and forth with him for a date. So yeah, so definitely that's another thing. You know, as the season starts to wrap up, we want to, you know, there's other things you can do in the garden. So, and last but not least, so we can't end.
Yes.
I know the time, I really have talked. It's amazing how long I can talk.
No,
isn't it, Gary?
It's great.
I know, it's always shocking.
Great.
And I thank all our listeners for tuning in to Down the Garden Path each week. But I did want to talk a little bit about landscape design. I'm busier than I've ever been in September so far. And it's not even September yet, the end of August. And it's not too late. So I want you to think about that for smaller gardens. for a consultation if you're having, you're really unhappy with the garden, if it's the home is new to you and the garden's new to you, it is not too late. There's still plants available. There are still plants that there's still plenty of time for planting. So do not despair. Contact a landscape designer near you. For sure. If you are looking towards a large project for next year or thinking about undertaking a project for next year, then now is also a wonderful time to, you know, call a designer, have us come out, do some measuring, take some photos, see how you're using the space. And then on the off season, if you're not in a hurry for it, then we can definitely work on that project together on their off season and have that design ready so that you can get it priced and quoted and, you know, and scheduled so that you can hit the ground running next year. So it is still a really good time to think about that. So landscape designs, a landscape designer in your area, please consider. And sometimes you might need to, you know, I've had that situation where clients have had to meet a few of us to kind of find the right fit, depending on the project you're working on. Contractors are a little bit better time now to do the quoting as opposed to when they're, you know, May and June is insane and they get a bit of a bad rap for not returning calls just because they're working so hard. So September, October, their life's a little bit more sane and they are more available. So please consider that as our parting note for this episode of Down the Garden Path. It's not too late to start a new garden.
No, it's not. Especially the garlic.
Yes.
Well,
then
wait a week or two, right?
Yeah,
Mid-September?
Now we need to order it. But yeah, mid-September is for planting.
Yeah.
And that, of course, will depend on the weather. You know, we can set dates all we want, you need to kind of take a look at the weather. And if we're still hot, dry, then, you know, hold
there
off
a
little bit. You do have the window seems to be mid-September to mid-October. So it's a bit of a, you know, good size window.
You got it.
Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Down the Garden Path and our chat about evaluating the garden. And we will see you soon. Thank you for joining me Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.